Well, hey, Power Agents, this is Daryl Davis. Welcome to this month's interview with an incredible agent by the name of Trish Pierce from Keller Williams Realty. So, Trish, thanks for being on the call with us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm very excited. So, gang, let me just give you a little bit of background about Trish, and then we're going to start picking her brains and getting all this great stuff for her. She has been in real estate since 2002 as a real estate agent, but she has some background before that in being an investment banker, which we're going to talk about that just in a little bit. Her average sales price, $300,000, and it averages between listings and sales about 50 units a year, which is just incredible, great production. She does some commercials and leases and stuff like that, but that's the gist of it. So, Trish, just so people can, you know, get in touch with you, send you referrals, stuff like that, where are you located? What's your contact information?
Sure. I'm in Boston, Mass., and best way to reach me 24 hours a day is cell phone, which is 781-307-6301.
Awesome. Very good. So now, Trish, so before we got ready for this call, you were telling me that, I mean, first of all, 50 units a year is just above average. That puts you in a top producer status. And you had said to me that you did investment banking before real estate. Now, for people who don't understand what investment banking is, like if you were going to explain that to a teenager, what would you say?
I help people make good choices when it comes to their finances.
Okay. So would I give you my, and I know you're not doing that anymore, but it's going to tie into this. So when you did investment banking, would I give you my money to invest for me? Is that what would happen?
Absolutely. Well, you'd give me your money to invest, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
And I would pick the right places to invest.
And give me some examples on where you would invest my money.
I would invest your money in certain portfolios and certain banks. We'd look at production, and I would bring it to one of our agents who would search out the markets depending on the type of risk people wanted. So it would be a high risk or a low risk.
Okay.
And then we'd make a determination as to what companies they would want to invest in.
Gotcha. So it might be mutual funds, it might be stocks, it might be bonds, et cetera. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
And so you also help manage people's retirement funds based on their income currently and when they want to retire, how much money should they have saved by then? Okay. So now, how has that helped you in the real estate world? So now you get into being a real estate agent in 2002. How has that helped you? Has it?
Well, it has because, first of all, I truly believe real estate is one of the best investments.
Mm.
So for me, people, it helps me with my sales because I say, well, I used to be an investment banker, and I saw all the rich people making money investing in real estate.
So
that's one of the things. And then also it helps me because the biggest investment a person's going to make is in real estate.
And you know, there's so many benefits to real estate, too, that we all know that when you buy investment real estate, when it goes up in value, but it's getting offset by depreciation from a tax return standpoint. So you're actually making money two ways. And that's probably most civilians, not to be political, but the whole Donald Trump thing, taking a $900 million loss, it's probably because of a lot of it being depreciated so he can offset it against income. So that's why real estate is such a great vehicle to help people become wealthy. Okay. So I can definitely see that you're on a listing appointment or you're talking to buyers that probably puts you in a position of strength and knowledge that they would trust you just because of that background, yeah?
Yes, and because I'm also bonded. And, you know, I make a point of letting them know that people trusted me for many years with their investments, and then after that with their mortgages, it was a natural fit to come over to the real estate side, and I did it because I enjoyed it.
Yeah, okay, that's so awesome. So, all right, now, let's look at your business. So you've got buyers, you've got sellers, and I know you've got some mm-hmm. other places that you generate revenue. But just looking at those two, where is most of your business come from? Would it be listing, selling, or would it be taking buyers out and showing property?
It's definitely listing, definitely
okay.
listing.
And how do you get your listings? So how do you get those appointments?
That's great news. Actually, today I just was on a listing appointment. It was great. And you can't just do one thing to get listings.
Okay.
You have to do several different things to get listings.
Okay.
Many people think they can just go out there and say, I got my real estate license, I'm there. I have many avenues. As we know, FSBOs and expireds are great. That's number one.
Okay.
Number two... Believe it or not, I enjoy door knocking and circle dialing on my listings that I have. So if I have a listing, I basically will inform the neighbors and say, I have something that directly impacts you. I've just listed this house. And that's one of the things I do. And by doing that, it starts a conversation. But last but not least, my database is my key. I have a very strong client database, and my database, when I'm listing a house, believe it or not, I will say to somebody, I am going to give you superior service. And as a listing agent, because I'm going to give you superior service, I hope that you will be gracious enough to give me a referral.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
at the end of our transaction together, I expect a referral based on the service.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't, I wonder what I did not do right.
Mm.
And it's amazing. Oh, yeah, my brother's – everybody knows somebody that's selling real estate.
Wow.
So it keeps me top of mind, and that's why I do it.
Now, that's great, Trish. So let's look at the referrals for a second with what you just said. And then we'll go. I want to talk about the circle prospecting. So that referral conversation that you say to the homeowner, is that at the mm-hmm. listing appointment? Is that after the listing? Is that at the closing? When do you have that conversation?
At the listing appointment.
Okay.
When we're signing the agreement. And key, people forget, those handwritten notes go a long way. Anytime I get a referral, handwritten note with a little Dunkin' coffee card goes in the mail. Thank you so much for trusting me with your friend.
Mm.
And believe me, they want to give you more referrals because they like coffee.
And here's the thing, too. I think that if somebody goes through the energy to help you and they contact you or they tell you of a friend and you don't thank them for that, it's almost kind of disrespectful.
Oh, yeah, absolutely is.
That'd be like going to somebody's house at a party, you bring a bottle of wine and they just take it and don't even acknowledge that you brought it or give it. So I think that simple thing is a big deal. That's really great.
Right. And I take it a step further, Daryl, just so you know, I let them know how the process is going. It went under agreement in this many days. Thank you so much again. And it closed. Thank you so much. And I send them a closing gift as well.
Wow. So you're actually sending them three things. The thank you for the referral when you start working it, an update
mm-hmm.
during the process, and then at the closing. Now, how do you keep track of that? How do you remember to actually do that?
Okay. Well, I have a great system in place, and it's always about systems. So I have two systems, actually. First one is my database, and I throw everything in there. But then I have my business, my active business pipeline and my to-do list, at, you know, from the pipeline. So when I check that database and I check my pipeline daily. That is not something you check once in a while. That is a daily piece for me.
Okay. And which database, how do you keep track of your database? What software are you using?
E-Edge.
E-Edge. Now, is that specific
yes.
to Keller Williams, or is that an outside vendor?
It is not specific to Keller Williams, but that's the one Keller Williams has.
Okay.
Some of the agents do use Top Producer. Some of the agents use other database, but you have to have a database.
Okay. So I just Googled it, and, I see E-Edge platform. Okay. So it's just the letter E, and then it's Edge, so you got the two E's back to back there. Okay, great. And then what about your to-do list? Are you getting that from E-Edge, your database, too, or is that a different software?
Right. It's really a pipeline. And the pipeline is, you do, with E-Edge, they allow, it's called an 8x8. So in other words, if I put in Daryl Davis as my new contact, I have to touch that person, you know, make sure I connect with that person 8 times over the next 8 weeks. And so touch one is a card. Touch two is letting them know the process. Touch three might be a phone call. Touch four is a drop by. So there's 8 touches that I have to do in those 8 weeks to keep top of mind, you know, for certain when I meet that client, if that makes sense.
It totally does. So it generates the tasks for you when you put
Correct.
That person in. Okay. And that's also plugged into the E-Edge thing?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love it. So the thank you cards, are you
yes.
doing it digitally? No, you say you're doing it handwritten. You have pre-printed thank you cards with your face or company or something like that?
You know, it's funny because that is one thing that I don't have 100% down. I use very, very nice cardstock.
Okay.
The type my grandmother used. Very nice card with a handwritten, in writing note. I throw my business card in every time.
Yeah.
I don't have a pre-printed. It's business. It's not one preference to the other. It makes me think of Grandma Nicodemski. Why not do it?
Yeah, no, that's, listen, the act of what you're doing is more important than the actual, you know, whether it's a pre-printed business thank you card
yeah.
or if it's, yeah, that's great. Okay, I love this. Great, this is great stuff. Now, so that's your referral. So now you do it at the listing appointment, and I'm assuming they might give you some names right even then and there.
Correct. Correct, they do.
All right, so now you go to closing. You give them a closing gift, and that's the referral. The current seller, so your listing, you sell it, it closes. You're going to ask them for a referral again, yes?
Yes.
How do you do that, and do you give them a closing gift, and what kind of gift do you, if you do?
Yes. First thing I give them, absolutely I give them a closing gift. And one of the gifts, and I do mix it up because sometimes it's fun, I give them a tree, a bamboo plant, actually, a lucky house plant. And when I give them that, I say, very little care to the plant, but if it dies, it's time to list again with Trish. So every time they see that plant, they know that they have to list with Trish.
And they're probably hoping that it doesn't die if they want to stay there for a while. So
yep,
they're probably every
yep,
day, are we still living here?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so funny. I've had some people say that, oh, my gosh, I got to water it every day, Trish, because of it. And it's okay. It's fun. And again, it's always having fun with my clients.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I love that. Do you have your face penciled on the bamboo shaft?
I know. I know. I should, right? I should. No, but no, absolutely. I let them know there are other things throughout the year. My clients, the problem is you know, the national statistics, they forget who their realtor is after a certain period of time. And I'm happy to adopt anybody's client, you know, and when I sell the house, I send the new buyer a welcome package, and I tell them if they need any questions answered about the house or any questions about contractors, anybody they need to talk to, come over and see me.
So even if it's not your buyer, you give the buyer a welcome package?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about that for a second, which
yeah.
I agree with. Yeah. I've gotten some agents tell me, excuse me, I have a cough because I'm still overcoming the flu. I apologize to everybody. I've had agents tell me, but if another agent from XYZ Realty, this was their mm-hmm. buyer, aren't they going to get pissed off that you're giving their buyer that bought your listing a package and staying in touch with them or doing anything like that? Does that happen? How do you address it? What would you say to an agent that would say that?
Okay, well, if it happens, which it hasn't yet, in 12 years, isn't that right? If it happens, I would certainly hope that they would be sending their client something.
Okay.
And they may or may not, but I'll be honest, they forget who their agent was.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you something. I mean, I agree. I got to tell you something. I got one of my investment properties. I have a legal thing that came up that I've got to deal with. And this goes back 6 years ago. And the attorney that helped me through it 6 years ago was awesome. And I couldn't remember who it was. And and literally, I started to go down the path of finding another attorney and going through the documents to give to the new attorney. I found the old attorney, which was a blessing because I was happy with him. I just didn't remember who he was. So that's the highlight. And this just happened today, by the way, just before I spoke to you. So I'm just highlighting because I don't think we all realize, us agents, that they really do forget us. And as close as you think you were and as great of a job that you did, you know, they may remember your face. They might even remember your first name because you made such a great impression. But that doesn't mean they're going to remember what company you're with, what your phone number was, and how to get in touch with you. And that's the important piece there. They may not remember how to get in touch with you. So by you doing what you're doing is brilliant. Now the circle prospecting that you do. Closing gift. Finish that. What kind of closing gift do you give them? What do you put in there?
All right. So just to touch back to the what we were just saying about forgetting who we are. When they call me and they have, I will say to them, "Oh yeah, I sold that house for you before. I sold that house before, so I can sell it again." It's so amazing how they just clicks with them.
Yeah.
So the closing gift, again, is the bamboo plant. And then there's other varieties that I do. Sometimes I'll do the cutting board. Everything I give them, though, has to have my touch on it. So when I put the – some people do the knife set with their name and number on there. I know that I give them a holiday ornament that's hand-painted by a friend down at Cape Cod. And I give them a little door ornament. And then the other thing I do is every Christmas or holiday, I have a delivery to my clients, to my database, and they get another homemade ornament for their tree.
Wow. Yeah, so this is important that people realize it's hard to do that if you don't have a good system. You using your database eEdge makes it so much easier for you to do that, right?
Right, to the effect of even, and you want to have this, we're having a client appreciation party next week, a pumpkin fest, and my database has been invited to face painting, balloons, free pumpkins, and goodies, just because they're part of my database, which, just so you know, we call it our membership club because memberships have its privileges.
Mm. So when somebody buys or sells through you, they become one. They get into your membership. Is that right?
Correct.
All right. So now now I'm going to continue on this path. So we'll go back to that circle prospecting later. So this client appreciation or membership appreciation, where are you holding it? Where are you holding it, and how do you finance it?
Oh my gosh! When I tell you, it cost me absolutely nothing. It absolutely did. I get together with my office, and we got a law firm and a mortgage company to foot the bill.
Okay.
We are holding it at what's called the Cardinal Cushing Center, which is a beautiful grounds in Hanover, and it has, it just has a cafeteria, it has a gym, it's a beautiful little center, and what we're doing is we're having it outside there. So we have the venue in place, and then the one attorney is paying for the pumpkins, the other attorney is paying for the other attorney's paying for the face painting and the balloons, and then we're going to have popcorn, we're going to have crafts, the Cardinal Cushing Center, they have students that have some disabilities, and they're going to have a cookie decorating table. We're having coloring tapes.
Mm.
So all of this, and then somebody volunteered their DJ service. We're going to have some raffles that we donated, and all of the proceeds are going to the Cardinal Cushing Centers.
Wow.
So it's an appreciation party, but we're also benefiting.
It's also a fundraiser, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome. Very great stuff. Okay. Love it, love it, love it. All right, let's go back to circle prospecting. So explain to people, what am I using the right term, or what does that mean?
Yes, circle prospecting means you take a listing or a sale that you have, more or less a listing that you have, and you let the neighbors know what's going on in their neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a marketing flyer that says, hey, I have, and I knock on the door and I say, I have something that directly impacts you. I've just listed this house. And you may know a neighbor, you may know somebody who would like to come in to preview it. And our open house is here. However, we're going to let you in a little earlier for a neighborhood sneak peek. So you let the neighbors in a half an hour before your open house. You've got 40 neighbors in there. So when the open house comes in, all these people are at a frenzy saying, oh, my gosh, we've got to place an offer on this house.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
that's awesome. Very good. And so you do that. You do that via door knocking, yeah?
And yes, or phone calls. And there are certain directories that I use, one being the Cole directory.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is Arch Dialer. And some of these you have to pay for, and some you don't. They're scrubbed lists, so you don't have to worry. They're not on the do not call list because they've been scrubbed.
Right. Okay. Good. All right. Very good. So you've got Kohl's Director using Arch is the other
Dialer.
One, the Arch Dialer. The one that I'm a fan of is Red X. They have Yeah, they have in there. I just learned about this. I didn't realize they have what's called geodata. So so you can actually in Red X, you type in that address, and then it will give you whatever you want, 50 in neighbors, 100 neighbors, and then you can download it and blah, blah, blah. Okay, good. Very good stuff. Okay, so circle prospecting, referrals, door knocking, which kind of relates to the circle prospecting. Is there anything different that you do with the door knocking?
With the door knocking, we handle hand a flyer. And people, I just want to add one thing. If you don't have a listing, it doesn't matter. You can basically bring, this house sold, this house sold, this house sold, three houses that sold in the neighborhood, and just say, this is what's happening in your neighborhood. Just thought you'd like to know. Now, and it's basically getting past myself and worrying, oh, no, they're going to slam the door in my face.
Right.
And I just want you to know, I went with a girlfriend because sometimes it's fun to do it with another realtor. And the two of us knocked on the door on Thursday, and we received two listing appointments as a result. Both houses are, one was today, are close to $500,000. And they both have to buy something. And there's another $600,000 each. So that's $2 million for 2 hours of door knocking.
Wow.
And
wow,
it's pain
wow.
versus pleasure. I'd rather have the pleasure of, two listing appointments than the pain of somebody saying, who are you, and slamming the door in my face. Okay. Doesn't happen as often as people think, especially if you're just giving information.
Yeah, so you're not being an aggressive salesperson. You're letting the neighbors know, hey, here's a house that just came up on the market, or here's just want to give you an update of what has sold in the last 30 days. And introduce myself and great, very good stuff. And you can even say, I guess, too, that, we're, because of these houses coming off the market or because of these new listings, we're expecting a lot of buyer activity coming into the neighborhood. We just want to let people know if they're thinking about selling, it might be a good time right now, and then see what happens. So that's really, really quite awesome. Okay, good. Now, with all of the referrals and door knocking that you're doing, you're still working physicals and expires, yeah?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
How much time do you spend on those, and is there a schedule that you have and how to do that?
Yes. Yes, and just so you know, time blocking is extremely important. So I have a calendar, and I lay out for the year first what I'm doing, my campaigns and whatnot. Then I do, not only do I lay out for the year, then I lay out for the month, then I lay out for the from the month to the week, and then from the week to the day in terms of time blocking my list of activities.
Okay.
And so time blocking is extremely important to me. And in the time frame, 9 to 11 might be my phone call.
Mm-hmm.
3 to 5 might be my door knock.
Okay.
Okay, and then I might be doing my appointments 5 to 7. I might be doing my appointments 4 to 6. But I try to tell people to be aware, anybody that calls, if you'll listen to my voicemail says I don't take calls after 7 o'clock at night because my time blocking is so important. This is run like a business. Nobody comes, you don't walk into my old job, my investment banking job. I don't walk in there and say, okay, I'm going to come in and do a little bit of investment banking for 2 hours and be home by 3. That's not how it works.
Right.
You run your real estate company like a business, and that's how I do it. And so by blocking out the time of the morning activities and the afternoon activities, my job is to lead generate. So one day might be FISBOs, one day might be expired, one day might be circle dialing. But by doing that, I know I need 20 contacts, real estate contacts per day, and that's how I do it.
Wow. So let me ask you this on the time blocking, because I know people listening are probably, a little confused by it. So
Yeah.
Do you let's see, I don't want to ask a question. Here's five general categories of things to do, mm-hmm. prospecting, door knocking, whatever it is, and plug
yep.
those into your schedule, and then the individual tasks will come later. Meaning, so if you say 9 to 11, I'm going to prospect, then in
yep.
there you might say, all right, what am I going to prospect today? I may just do physicals today. I may do past clients.
Yep.
Is that how you do it?
Yes, absolutely it is.
Okay. So what are the general categories that you block out? Prospecting
okay, so,
is obviously one. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, just so you know, my job is to lead generate. So that is my number one job. I negotiate. I help other ways, but my number one job is to lead generate. I need to focus on money-making activities, not the minutia of real estate. And I know that sounds crazy, but I don't focus on the inspection. I don't focus on preparing a P&S. I don't focus on that piece. I focus on lead generation.
Okay.
So my time blocking is mainly on lead generation and listing appointments.
Okay.
Okay. It's not on the other pieces. And I do hire an assistant to help me with the transaction piece. And I hire somebody to help me with inspections and whatnot.
All right, so there's less of it, correct me if I'm wrong. So if you have the assistant, you have the other person help with inspections, is it more unlikely for you because of that if you have the 9 to 11 a prospect, you go into the office and there's a deal that's fallen apart,
mm-hmm.
there's something in contract. Like, is there something that might distract you that becomes urgent that might get in the way of your 9 to 11 of prospecting? Or no, do you say, I don't care what it is, this has to happen first?
Okay. If it's going to happen in 2 hours and it's going to fall apart in 2 hours, then there's really nothing I can do about it. That is shut down for 2 hours because that is my time to lead generate. I'm only... You know, I heard something at a convention that basically said, the day we remove our last real estate sign from a lawn is the last paycheck we'll receive. What I need to do is I need to make sure that I am concentrating on lead generation. And the reason why people have the ebbs and flow in real estate where they're doing great and then they have nothing for a month and then they have 10 listings and then they have nothing is because they don't focus on the money-making tasks. They only focus on, you know, they get involved in, oh, no, this inspection went bad and, oh, no, we have to worry about this. Yes, I allow some time after 11 o'clock from 11 to 12. I'll make my phone calls back to my clients.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I could do the same thing between 2 and 3. I'll make phone calls, and that will be put in my time blocking as well.
Mm-hmm.
But by focusing on the lead generation activities, on the listing, on the way to get people to buy or sell real estate, that is what's going to keep me in business.
Well, you know what? Listening to you, Trish, you just made me think of a powerful distinction, and that is, I mean, you've heard me say this before. This is not the powerful part, but you've heard me say about how important inventory is versus just getting listings. That, you know,
yep.
it's like
yep.
running a shoe store. You know, if
yep.
you've got 10 pairs of shoes and, you know, 8 of them sold, you got to replenish your 8. You know, otherwise you don't
yep.
have a shoe store. Yeah, so.
Correct.
Which is what you just said. But you know what? The way you said it and was so powerful because what I just dawned on me is most agents, the reason why they have the ebbs and flows, the reason why they'll have 10 listings 1 month, 0 the next, is because they focus on the contracts, the closings,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
not the listings. So in other words, if an agent had a good month and they got 2 or 3 sales, or 10 sales, whatever that good number is for
mm-hmm.
them, they may say, oh, this is great, man. I got some cash coming in. I'm good for the next mm-hmm. 30, 60, 90 days. I can, the pressure's off. So they're focusing more on the paycheck, the commissions, the money coming in, but really the focus needs to be on lead generation, yard signs, putting them out there. And I love that. You know, the last yard sign that you have on the property, that's your last paycheck. So very great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Powerful stuff. All right, so FSBO's an expired. So is there anything that you're doing? How do you work FSBO's? How do you work expireds? What tools? What do you do?
Yep. Well, I have scripts in place for FSBO's and expireds, and this is a whole other topic, I'll tell you. This would take me a long time, and we can talk about this another time. But
sure.
I've learned scripts to use when an expired comes into play, or when a FSBO comes into play, and the scripts are very powerful because it has me ask questions.
Yep.
When I'm talking to somebody, I will say to them, I'll try to figure out a way to touch it basically.
I'm hitting you last minute with this, so you're doing great.
Yeah,
so
some of the things like with my FSBOs, I will say to them, how long do you plan on selling it yourself is really a good question to ask.
Mm-hmm.
And when I ask that question, they say, well, I plan to sell it on my own. And you know the statistics of how many sales come into place.
Right.
How many people that are FSBOs end up working with someone like me. But, you know, I'll just say when I'm calling, sometimes I'll call somebody, I'll say, you know, thanks for taking my call, and I'll say, I'm Trish Pierce with Keller Williams, and I was curious, when your house sells, where are you moving to? And it sets them up like, huh, well, why? Well, frankly, the reason I'm calling is I proactively look for buyers for my seller.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't that what you'd want your agent to do for you if you hired the right agent? So
something
like that. And so all of a sudden it gets them to think, and it turns them from somebody that they're starting to think, oh, maybe I don't know where to go yet.
Right.
And so it also makes them understand that I'm a realtor that will help them. And then that starts my connection for the 8x8. Because they may not say, oh, great, I want to list with you, Trish. What they say is, okay, I'm interested in what you have to say. So after that phone call comes the personal handwritten thank you.
Yeah.
Followed by the next day of this is what's for sale in the market review. Next, pop by with a plant. Next is something else. 8 weeks, 8 touches. And that's how I get a FSBO.
That's awesome. So so you start with a phone call, and then from the phone call, whatever happens, you put them into the 8 touch program. Okay, very, very cool. What is it when you go on a listing appointment? Is there something that you do that you feel really helps you to get those listings? Something special? Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, actually, I'm glad. I'm sharing really valuable information here.
I know you are. I've been taking notes.
Yeah. Yeah, what I start with is before I even go out to the property, Massachusetts, a lot of the houses in Massachusetts is a two-part listing. I know some places have a one-part, but ours is a two-part listing.
Okay.
And before I even go out the first time to list to view their property, they have received a pre-listing package. And that pre-listing package is a gift basket with how to sell your home, materials with that. I also throw in a notepad. I throw in my magnet with the kitchen conversion chart. I throw in a candle because people need candles for open houses. And I throw in candy because everybody likes candy. I wrap it up in a nice bow, and I have a courier service deliver it to their house. The other thing I do is if I know that they work a lot, I put a listing presentation, you know, pre-listing homework, if you will, in a Federal Express envelope and mail it to their work. So when they receive that package at work, somebody says, oh, what's that? Oh, that's something from my realtor. And that's before I even list the house.
That FedEx package, what's in there?
What's in there is usually, oh, I'd say 12 pages.
Okay.
One is a marketing plan, how their house is going to be marketed. Number two is, you know, the things we can get from the National Association of Realtors, such as, you know, how do people find their houses? How do they sell their houses?
Mm-hmm.
The next piece would basically be, you know, how quickly the house might sell. You know, all this paperwork you can get from the National Association of Realtors website.
Okay.
Or you can get it from your company website, depending on where you're going.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then I have homework for them, which is extremely important. The homework includes, how much is your oil bill? How much is your gas bill? Tell me something good about the neighborhood. Tell me something good about, you know, your house. And you know, could you list the last 3 months of electric and the last 3 months of this? By doing that, by the time they come to the first listing presentation, if that thing has been filled out, I know I'm golden.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've already checked in with me.
Now, if they didn't, first of all, this is really awesome. I need to say something before I ask you this question, Trish,
mm-hmm.
Because I know people listening right now.
Yeah.
You have given so much great stuff that
yeah.
some agents are going to get overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And, oh, my God, what do I do first, and how do I do this, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, you've been in real estate since 2002. You
mm-hmm.
didn't do all this by 2003. So
right.
What's important, people, I want to tell everybody listening is that, you know, just take one or two ideas from what
yeah.
Trish is sharing and implement the one or two, because if you think you've got to do all of it and you're not going to succeed unless you do, now you're going to get overwhelmed. You're not going to do anything. So,
right.
All right. So, like, even just this pre-listing package, gift basket that you just said, just
yeah.
creating that alone can overwhelm somebody. Well, notepads,
mm-hmm.
now I got to get custom notepads and my picture on it and the candle and
yeah.
the packet and the how to sell your home and where
mm-hmm.
do I get that? So, anyway, I love this. This is incredibly awesome. The questionnaire, the homework, you know, what's your
yeah.
bills? What do you like best about
yeah.
your house? So that questionnaire, I could definitely see a referral, somebody who called you and they want you to come over to list probably or talk to you about
mm-hmm.
listing. Do you send this? Do you do the same thing even with a FSBO? And if you do, does the FSBO fill all that stuff out, or I would think there's times when they don't?
There are times when they don't. I'd say it's a 50-50.
Okay, with a FSBO.
I know that if they fill out the information, that I have it.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't fill out the information, it doesn't mean I don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
It just means that they didn't fill out the information.
Okay. I love that.
Yeah.
If they don't fill it out, it means nothing. They just didn't do it. So that's really
yeah.
great. So you don't run in a negative place with that.
Yeah.
And I would also think that if a FSBO doesn't fill it out, they still say, wow, this agent is really knows their stuff. To even ask me to fill this out. So
yeah.
Even filling it out, they might emotionally still say, I'm just going to list with Trish when she comes over. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have about a 95% success rate with my listings. So I in getting the listing, and the other 5% might basically be like, there's no way I'm going to list with this person because I know they're going to be a headache.
Right.
So that's how it is. It's like I say, it's mutually agreeable. I'm a real estate consultant. I'm here to help you.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. All right. So we're coming to the end of the call here. Is there anything that I didn't ask you that you want to share that you think would be helpful for people?
Yes. you need to know your scripts. You need to know your scripts for how to speak to a FSBO, how to speak to an expired, how to speak to a new buyer. And there are a lot of great ones on the web. My company happens to have scripts, but and you have to practice your scripts. You have to practice how to speak to somebody. And by doing that, it's going to help you get more confident in your ability to speak with clients. And on top of that, just remember, actors and actresses get paid so well because they know their scripts backwards and forwards. So you make sure you know how to speak to a buyer and a seller backwards and forwards.
Great. That was awesome. Well, Trish, you were so generous with that. And, gang, I just want to acknowledge Trish because, you know, with all the time blocking that she does and with the production she has, and, you know, she squeezed me in to do this interview just yesterday. So I'm sure she had plenty to do, and we recorded this on a Saturday, one of our busiest days in our business. So the fact that she took the time is just even more awesome and generous of her. So I want to thank you again, Trish, and I want to give everybody your website, too, so that way, and give your cell number again, so that way in case they missed it at the beginning.
Yep, my cell phone number is 781-307-6301. And if you could contact me via email is the best, and it's Trish, T-R-I-S-H, Pierce, P-I-E-R-C-E, at kw.com. That's the way to get in touch.
Awesome, very great. All right, so gang, just like we said, Trish covered so much great stuff about circle prospecting, referrals, party, database, time blocking, closing gifts, listing appointment stuff. Don't try and do it all. Just pick one or two items, implement that, and just do that every month. You're going to succeed and your business get to your next level. This is Daryl Davis. Thanks again. Until I talk to you all, just don't forget to keep smiling.